You're still in Genesis, you're in the right place, Genesis chapter 9, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 17. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat the flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. From the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it." Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I'll remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember. Remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Let's pray. Oh, great God and dear Heavenly Father, we pray for your glory today in this worship service and especially in your word and through your word that's preached this morning. We pray that you'd give help by your Spirit and be glorified in through your word and especially in shining on the glory of our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We just pray for your wisdom and guidance and help and understanding and blessing on your word. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is The Rainbow. And one of the first concerns when you preach about the rainbow is informing or sweeping away a lot of the notions that we have by nature or by the world's influence and ideas of the world about a rainbow and what it is and what its purpose is. Certainly, we can think of some of the things that come to mind when we look at a rainbow, we see a rainbow. And one of the things that's prevalent or popular is just that it's a natural phenomenon. And we know, as much as we're all so brilliant scientists, we know that it takes certain natural events to take place. You have to have the sun, of course. You have to have a certain amount of rain or mist to produce it, and it comes about. We see it in the sky as God makes it appear. But one of the most important things is that we don't always see rainbows, and they're not always there after the shower or the storm. And so that's important when we're thinking about rainbow. There's a lot of superstition about rainbows, all kinds of tales and things have come about. I know that many of you really love the breakfast cereal Lucky Charms. And if you think about that and the rainbow and the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, I hate to, say anything against that, but it's not true at all. Superstition, there's a lot of superstitions around rainbows. And of course, the hijacking of this precious symbol or token of God's covenant of grace that's been hijacked by the LGBT, whatever, group. And that's so sad. But it's really consistent with what the world does with a lot of precious things that God provides us to encourage our faith. Things in nature, things that he's told us in his word, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And we got to fight against that. One of the blessings we have as Christians is we have a renewed mind and we can think biblically. And God has given us his word, his precious word, to explain these things, to teach us, and by his Holy Spirit. So we need to take those things and be taught of God and what they really mean. And certainly this is true of the rainbow here in Genesis. We're told that God is the one who decided that the rainbow would exist and it would be an emblem, a token, a sign or seal of the covenant of grace. And particularly, which is another blessed thing, it's a type of Christ. We can see Christ, not that he is a rainbow, but some of his characteristics and glory in the rainbow. It's a particular sign. We'll read some of the scriptures that point to that. And so, again, providentially it appears. I hope everybody believes in God's providence here this morning. I do. It's very clearly taught that God is a sovereign God, and a God of creation, but a God who orders all things in heaven above and on the earth below, according to his good purpose. And particularly, he orders all things for the good of his people. And that's important. So God is a God of providence. When we see a rainbow, we know that the right circumstances had to be there for that rainbow to appear at all, and then for us to see it, even you have to be in the right place. Usually rainbows don't last very long. They're kind of, you're looking at them and you're calling your friends or family, come see the rainbow. By the time they get out there, it's gone, So about 6 months ago, I think, we were out east, and we saw this really spectacular rainbow from one side of the sky to the other. You rarely see them when they're totally complete, but they're beautiful. And so that was God's providence that we were there and the circumstances were right. We saw that rainbow. Last Sunday, and I got a kidney stone. That was also God's providence. It had to be the right circumstances and God's purpose for us. And this is the most biblical and most blessed way to view our lives and our relationship with God is that he's working all things, not only just for the counsel of his will, but also for the good of his people, for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose, the good and the bad, the beautiful rainbow and the kidney stone that causes pain. These things God purposely works, and so we need to see that as we think of or look biblically at the rainbow. And it's a promise, it's a token there that's given that God has committed himself, purposed to do something, especially to do something in salvation, in redemption for his people. It's important to see that God is a covenant-keeping God. Many people today in Christianity, they're not familiar with God and as a covenant God. There's no other way to approach God other than through a covenant, through his promise to bless us if we do certain things, But actually, the most important part of the promise is him. Is him seeing and him purposing and him doing. And God swearing or purposely and allowing us to know. It says that in Isaiah 54, 9 and 10, we read this before. For this is like the waters of Noah to me, the Lord says. For I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth. So I have sworn. That's the covenant promise and purpose of God. He's declaring it. That I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you. Speaking to his covenant people, believers, those who are in Christ. The most important part of the covenant is to see it as a covenant of grace, but that grace mediated through the one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and see that how God the Father made a covenant and agreement with the Son to come and to bless his people. But our blessings, all the encouragement, all the things that we need are found in Christ. And they're sure. Every promise is yes and amen to those who are in Christ. Every promise, because God is a covenant, a promise-keeping God. He purposes and he promises. And the very kind, good part of that is he lets us know it. Through his word, he lets us know the promises. We can trust his word. He didn't have to even tell us. And some things he doesn't tell us, but what he tells us we can grab hold of by faith and trust him and have faith and trust in his goodness. The Lord will provide. We sang that hymn, "No troubles assail us." The Lord will provide. He will be faithful. Great is his faithfulness, and his kindness, his mercy shall not depart from you, from me and you who are in Christ. Anyone and everyone, from the weakest to the strongest, that's a promise is sure. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on us. Could you want any more encouraging verses than that? Sometimes we read through Isaiah and just kind of blow through it and get our daily reading in. But if so, it's such a precious, precious book, full of God and full of his promises. Well, one of the first things we'll look at is that how this bow came to be. And I don't know if you do any hunting, but people hunt with bows, right? Years ago, they used bows, and if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, you remember the battles in the Lord of the Rings and people that were shooting. Was that the elves? But generally speaking, bows are weapons. They have arrows, and if you get hit with the arrow, guess what? It's going to hurt. But that's not the bow that God... That's not the meaning that God has. He's going to judge the world. He has to judge sin as a holy and just God. But his promise here in the bow and in his covenant of grace is that he's going to show mercy to us, his people, first and foremost, and then in a common or general way to all creation. Look at the promise here in 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. We see the promises for creation, but it's really, truly the most important part of the covenant, the promise, is for God's people, that we know that we have a God who is faithful and faithful to us in Christ. Now, the world gets blessed because of that. The world exists. Things remain in creation for the elect, for God's people. And as part of this faithfulness, the world is blessed. So we see that. We see that it's God who does this. God who speaks. God who purposes. Again, he's purposed from before the foundation of the world to do these things, to create, to sustain, and especially to bless in Christ. He says in verse 9 of chapter 9, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you." And he goes on to say, and as we turn to verse 11, that I, "Thus I establish my covenant with you." His purpose then is made known, never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. There will be a day when God will destroy this world, heavens and earth, with fire, but not with a flood. So it's not going to happen. How do I know that? Because God said it. And God is true. His word is true and sure. He's made a promise not to do it. So there's no way that it's going to happen. Mountains may be cast into the sea and hills removed, but he's not going to destroy with the flood this world and all the flesh in it. And he said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me, God speaking, and you, his people, and every living creature that is with you for the perpetual generations. This is until Christ returns. These things will be true, and God can be counted on and trusted and loved because of that. In verse 13, he says, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant. That's the covenant of grace, the everlasting covenant, the covenant that God makes between me and the earth. And it shall be that when I bring the cloud over the earth, those circumstances, those providential circumstances, and there may be many rainbows over the earth throughout the world. We wouldn't be there necessarily to see it, right? Probably in many countries all over the world. But what's the most important thing? Who's the most important one who sees the rainbow? God. Whether we see it or not, God is true and faithful to honor his word and his promise. So it's put in our language here, or language that we can understand about God remembering, but it's really, he doesn't need to remember anything. He doesn't need a bow, a rainbow to remember, but he sees it and he acts. And so it's important. We see God's sovereignty and his purposes here. I set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be for the sign between me and you and the earth, and it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which I is between me and you and every living creature. And when we see that language or read that language between me, God says me, himself, and you, he's speaking to all who are in Christ. It's a covenant of grace, a covenant of promise. The promises are made to those, not just to Noah, and maybe if any of his family were saved, and them, but to all who are in, not just Noah, and not just the ark, but to all who are in Christ. And that's important, again, for us to see. A covenant between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant. God's promise, his purpose, shall endure and shall be true between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign, the token, the emblem of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. Amazing words. And again, if we get nothing out of all that, we got to see that it's God who purposes and plans and brings it about and decided that this was going to be the sign. And there's reasons for it. There's reasons why it comes about in a cloud and not just on a bright and sunny day. And we'll see that a little bit. But most importantly, God sets his bow. Again, it's not the bow shooting the arrow of judgment, but it's a bow that glorifies God, that shows his mercy and his purpose, his sovereignty and his love, the multifaceted love of Christ and Christ himself seen and typified in the rainbow. The multitude of colors displays the multifaceted love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And he remembers it, and he says it and determines it. John Gill has got some good words on God's covenant and purposes in the rainbow. He says, the rainbow is a reverberation of or a reflection of the beams of the sun upon a thin, watery cloud. And the covenant of grace is owing to Jesus Christ, the Son of righteousness. It is Christ who made the covenant for us with the Father. He fills the covenant with all blessings of grace. Christ is the mediator of the covenant. He's the surety of the covenant. He's the messenger of the covenant. And all that, all these promises, again, are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. In Revelation 10:1, we read, "For I saw," John writes, "for I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land." Picture of Christ, the glorified Christ. But the rainbow is there. Again, in Revelation 4:1-3, John writes, "And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, 'Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne is set in heaven. One," capital O, "one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like jasper and sardis stone in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne. Its appearance was like emerald." We see that not only Christ pictured, but the throne that Christ sits on, the glory is for Christ. Ezekiel 1:28, "Like the appearance of a rainbow in the cloud on a rainy day, so is the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard the voice of one speaking." Again, beautiful pictures of glory, of God's purpose, of Christ himself, and God's purpose in Christ. It's always God's purpose is in Christ Jesus, especially when it comes to us. John draws a picture of Christ as one clothed with a cloud, having a rainbow on his head. And the fact is, the whole covenant of grace is Jesus Christ himself. He is the surety of the covenant, the ratifier of the covenant, the blessing of the covenant, the embodiment of the covenant. God the Father said to his Son, "I will preserve you and give you for a covenant for the people." Isaiah 49:8. So that's God's purpose. And again, we may see many rainbows in our life, but if we miss this, if we miss these ideas, we're really coming up short and missing a whole lot. Christ being the central always in the God's love for us and his goodness for us. Now this covenant, of course, we read that it's made with Noah. And Noah is a sinner saved by grace. He was not a sinless man. He was a righteous man and a man that was used by God and blessed by God and given faith. But he was a sinner saved by grace. He was plucked out of the sea of humanity that was far gone, every imagination or thought, evil or wicked. And Noah was saved. Grace of God found Noah. And we see it. We see that he doesn't merit God's love and favor right away as he comes out of the ark, hears from God, and then gets drunk and lies in his tent naked. And it says, "Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers." And the story goes on, but we see that again, the sin of Noah, this godly man, this preacher of righteousness, right away. It is not of works. It is not of any goodness in us. But God sets his mercy and has mercy on us in his own purpose and good pleasure. So Noah there, we see, again, as we think of the rainbow, we think of God's sovereignty, God's love, God's purpose, the safe refuge we have in Christ. And go on to read in the comments, believer, have you, like Noah, been called by God into the ark of salvation? Here's where it gets personal and where we need to look at ourselves and consider. Then, like Noah, you may trace the rainbow to in every trial and discouragement. And I know that we have trials and discouragements. Clouds, storms, fierce storms assail the people of God, though they are the objects of his grace, though they are the objects of his eternal love and purpose. And yet God chose that the bow would be seen in the clouds of the fears of, and the worries of God's people, the discouragements, the struggles of God's people. Go forward undismayed, for you are encompassed with God's hosts of covenant of grace. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You believe that no water can again destroy the earth. So believe that neither sin nor Satan can sweep you into perdition, for your life is hidden with Christ in God. These are things that we should see when we see the rainbow and we see the purpose. And when we read about the rainbow and about God's covenant of grace in his word, so important for us to see that. God brings it in the clouds, and again, promise of trials and tribulations. And yet, if you think about when you see a rainbow, you see the sky, whether it's on the right or the left, whatever, I guess in the afternoon, usually you see more rainbows than in the mornings, but the bright, bright blue, clear sky and the sun, and that's the Son of Righteousness, Lord Jesus Christ shining. There would be no rainbow apart from the Son of Righteousness, from the Lord himself, but shining into the clouds. It's always after the storm, usually, sometimes before, but most normally after a storm. And Christians, there's a cycle we go through of trials and tribulations and storms and perplexities and fears and doubts about our salvation, about our part in Christ. These all are purposed and planned by God for our good. And we need to see again that God gives us this kind emblem or token of his love and care for us. Didn't have to. Could have just done nothing and just said it. But he doesn't. He's a merciful God. We see that in when it speaks of God's purposes and his kindness to us. We see it in Hebrews chapter 6, one of the more precious sections of Scripture dealing with God's love and faithfulness. It says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham," so speaking years later to Abraham, "because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and the oath is for confirmation is for them an end of all disputes. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, the immutability, the unchangeableness, the certainty of his counsel, confirmed by an oath." That's the covenant oath, the promise oath of God. Unchangeableness of his purpose, and the guarantee, confirming it, guaranteeing it, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. When he says something based on his nature, his character, his sovereignty, he says it, and we can trust it. We can trust God because his word is always true. Impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation. What a good God. He wants to strengthen our faith and give us strong consolation. To everyone? No. It says, to those who have fled for refuge, to lay hold of the hope set before us. That's hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So God's purposes are sure, and God is so kind to even come up or purpose to provide a rainbow that we can look to and trust him in. But the main comfort should be not our looking at the rainbow and seeing that, but the fact that we know, based on his word, that God looks at the rainbow. He remembers his covenant promise. And that's the security. That's the hope. That's the purpose of God. And we can trust him in that. What's more important? It reminds you of the blood that was put on the doorpost, the lintel of the door and the doorpost. When God saw the blood, he passed over. It wasn't dependent on the Israelites looking at the blood. It was God who saw the blood, picturing the blood of Christ, and so they were safe when he saw it. Same thing with the rainbow and his purpose in the covenant of grace. God sees it, and it's his purpose and to bless it and to bless us in Christ. In Christ, it's always and only in Christ, the love of Christ, the Father and the Son, the fullness, the manifold, multifaceted, multicolored beauties of Christ can be seen, but only with the eyes of faith. And it's the glory to glorify Christ. We see that as we read some of those verses in Ezekiel and Revelations, the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, a brightness all around. It was the appearance of likeness of the glory of the Lord. Where else do we see the glory of the Lord? It's in the face of Christ as the Holy Spirit removes the veil from our eyes and shows us the glory of Christ. We don't see it by nature. We cannot see it. We're blind by nature. But God removes the blindness. He gives us eyes to see the glory of God, not in a rainbow, but in the face of Christ. And that's sure and glorious for sure. The seal is affixed with repeated assurances of the truth of the promise of which it is designed to be the ratification. I do set my bow in the clouds, God says. The rainbow is the reflection of the beams of the sun, which intimates that all the glory and sufficiency of the seals of the covenant are derived from Christ, the Son of Righteousness, who is also described with a rainbow about his throne. It's his throne. There's a rainbow about it. The rainbow upon his head. Again, the glory of Christ, the blessings of Christ, which intimates not only his majesty, but the fact that he is the mediator between God and us. And that is so precious. So I hope we are informed now more than we were about the rainbow. I hope we can sweep away all the nonsense. And you can still eat Lucky's Charms, I guess. Right, so it's not sin, excuse me, to eat Lucky Charms, but as long as you're not trusting in the pot of gold. But again, the clouds, the trials will come, but God's comfort is there in Christ. And I'll close with precious verses, speaking of God's purpose in Romans 8, beginning at verse 28. I hope you know this section. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn, that's Christ, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, he predestined that he also called, whom he called, these he also justified, whom he justified, these he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, with Christ, also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall bring a charge? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand, that throne of glory, right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, the clouds, the storms, no, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your good word, and we thank you for your faithfulness, for your sovereignty, for your sovereign love and purposes. And we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. We pray that we would love him and see beauty in him more and more than any rainbow that could be painted or photographed. Father, we desire to love you more and to trust you more, even in the storms and clouds of this life. We thank you that you have a good purpose, even in those things. And we pray that we would trust in you and with all our hearts. And we thank you and pray in Jesus' name, amen.